Hey there, Antioch family, and anyone else listening in. Thanks for joining us on this Good Friday. I'm Pastor Andy O'Rourke from Antioch Community Church, and we're celebrating together today the cross of Christ. Good Friday is when we remember in a special way the crucifixion of Jesus, the death of Jesus Christ on our behalf. It's right in the middle of Holy Week, a week that begins with Palm Sunday and ends with the celebration of the resurrection on Easter Sunday. But today we're focusing in a special way, as I said, on the cross of Christ. This Easter season, we've been talking about, especially in focusing on, what it means that the people of God are people of faith, hope, and love, marked by those characteristics in our lives. And to do that, we've been opening up our Bibles together to Romans chapter 5, verses 1 through 11, where the Apostle Paul lists out and explains many benefits that we have as followers of Jesus in our lives. Listen to what he says in Romans 5, verses 1 through 11. He writes, "Therefore, since we have been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Through him, we have also obtained access by faith into this grace in which we stand. And we rejoice in hope of the glory of God. Not only that, but we rejoice in our sufferings, knowing that suffering produces endurance, and endurance produces character, and character produces hope. And hope does not put us to shame, because God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us. For while we were still weak, at the right time, Christ died for the ungodly. For one will scarcely die for a righteous person, though perhaps for a good person one would dare even to die. But God shows his love for us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Since, therefore, we have now been justified by his blood, much more shall we be saved by him from the wrath of God. For if while we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his Son, much more, now that we are reconciled, shall we be saved by his life. More than that, we also rejoice in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have now received reconciliation." This past Sunday, on Palm Sunday, we talked about how Christians are to be characterized as people of faith, and what it means to be the results of that faith in our lives. What that means is that our faith in Jesus Christ, it allows us and it actually brings us into this realm of peace with God. Through faith, we have peace with God, our Creator. And then not only that, we have peace with God, but we're also located now in this position of being in the realm of grace. We're recipients and we stand in the grace of God. Paul spells that out in the first couple verses. That's the result of being people of faith in our lives. Today, as we reflect in a special way on the cross, we're looking at how followers of Jesus are also people of love, people that are marked by love in our lives. Now, living as people of love, it begins by encountering a God who is love. It begins by encountering God's great love through Jesus and demonstrated in the cross. Romans 5, it highlights two amazing truths about the love of God that I want us to look at this evening together. The first one is in verse 8 of chapter 5 that I read. God's love has been profoundly demonstrated through Jesus's death on the cross. It's been demonstrated, it's been shown through the cross. The cross shows us what the love of God is like. Listen again to verse 8. It says, "But God shows his love for us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us." If you've ever doubted or wondered how much God loves you, look no further than the cross of Christ. That's what Paul is saying. God the Father offered up his Son as the only way to save our souls from death, a death that is the result of sin in our lives. And every one of us is guilty of sin, sin by nature and by choice in our lives. Well, God doesn't wait for us to clean ourselves up and come to Him. as if we would do that. Actually, we run the other way a lot of times. We can't fix ourselves. God doesn't wait for us to do that. Nope, He Himself took the initiative and He broke into our world. That's what verse 8 is saying. God the Son, Jesus Christ, became human and sacrificed Himself for a band of ungrateful, God-hating rebels like us. Listen to this quote from a commentator, Bible scholar Douglas Moo. He says this, God has not waited for us to take the first step back to Him, but has intervened in an act of pure grace to provide a way for us to come back. It's similar to what we read in the letter of 1 John, chapter 4, verse 19. It says, we love because He first loved us. We love because God first loved us. He reached out. He took the initiative. He's a God on mission, and He expresses that mission most clearly, most amazingly through the cross of Jesus Christ. This is the glorious good news of the cross. Jesus' death, it shows us how serious our sin is. God had to die for it. But Jesus' death, it also shows us how great the love of God is. God did die for us. We all need the cross in a very big way. There's no one so good that they don't need the forgiveness of the cross. And on the other hand, there's no one so bad that they can't be forgiven by the cross. No matter what you've done, no matter how far you think you are, far gone from God, you still need the cross, and you're not beyond the reach of the forgiveness that comes through believing in Jesus and what He's done. The cross, in other words, it's the standard. It's the standard for understanding and for describing what true love looks like. God Himself sets that standard in offering forth His Son. So that's the first amazing truth that we see in Romans 5. God's love has been profoundly demonstrated through Jesus' death on the cross. Well, what's the second amazing truth? That comes in verse 5. So back up to verse 5. First, we looked at verse 8. Now, in verse 5, we see that God's love can be powerfully experienced through believing in Jesus. It's demonstrated on the cross, but it can also be personally and powerfully experienced. Listen to verse 5 again. Paul writes, "And hope does not put us to shame, because God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us." Now let me make three comments on this verse, on verse 5. First, the image that the Apostle Paul uses, this figurative language of God's love being poured into our hearts. Now picture that. We don't think about something being poured into a person's heart. In fact, it's not possible. But Paul is stretching to use human language to explain this profound and amazing relational thing that happens when someone believes in Jesus Christ. God pours His love into their hearts abundantly, this divine outpouring of God the Father. Now, also notice the mediator of that love. The Holy Spirit is the mediator of the love of God to every believer. His love has been poured into our hearts, he says, through the Holy Spirit. The Spirit enables us, as followers of Jesus, to sense, to feel deeply that we are loved by God. Now, it's objectively true that God demonstrates His love in the cross. That's a fact. But it's subjectively experienced and felt through the Holy Spirit that's been poured into our lives, into our hearts by God the Father. This indwelling presence of God's Spirit, it's something that every follower of Jesus receives. There's no levels within Christianity where some have received the Spirit and some haven't. Every single person that believes in Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior experiences this filling, this indwelling presence of the Holy Spirit. And that Spirit of God, this Holy Spirit, the third person of the Godhead, of the Trinity, is the down payment or the guarantee of experiencing God's presence for all eternity. Through this presence of the Holy Spirit in our lives, we're assured that we have eternal life with God the Father. Now notice the third thing in this verse 5, the necessity of faith. It's only through placing your trust in Jesus as your Lord and Savior that you experience the indwelling presence of God's Spirit in your life. So God's Spirit is given as a divine gift to everyone that believes in Jesus and as an assurance or an assurer of God's great love for you, for us. This past fall, my wife Sarah and I, we celebrated our 20th anniversary. It's hard to believe we've been married over 20 years, but it's a big one. It was a big milestone, and to celebrate that, we took a trip to Jamaica. Never been there before, and we went last November over Thanksgiving week, and we're on the north side of Jamaica, Ocho Rios, at a resort there, and one of the fun things we did together was we went on an excursion out to this place called Duns River Falls, and this river runs through the mainland, and then as it gets closer to the ocean, it slopes down rapidly, and there's a lot of different waterfalls, and the river's rushing quickly, and then it pours into the ocean. Well, you can take excursions or trips to actually walk up the river through these little waterfalls and work your way up. So we did that. We went on a bus with people, strangers that we didn't know, and we went to Duns River Falls. And when we got out of the bus, it was pouring rain. I mean, just pouring. And it wasn't that cold out, but it was super wet, obviously. And they took us, our group, down to to the mouth of the river where it pours into the ocean. And that's where you start. And you form a human chain. You link arms hand to hand. And then a guide leads you up through this river, stepping on one foothold to the next, one rock to the next, and you're walking through in this human chain, working your way up this river through this rushing water, through this river, through these waterfalls. I've never had any experience like that. It was pretty amazing and a lot of fun, and a lot less dangerous and slippery than it looked. But I thought of that when I was reading this passage in Romans 5. Because the love of God, it's like a waterfall in a lot of ways. It's like a supernatural flood that pours into your life, and you're never the same after you experience the love of God. God's love is personal. It's relational. It's a love that will never be taken away. It's a love that satisfies the deepest longings in our soul. Maybe you've never even fully realized or been able to put into words those longings. But here's what I promise you. Here's what I guarantee you. Once you experience this amazing love of God through faith in Jesus Christ, you'll be able to say, this is exactly what I've been searching for my entire life. Let me ask you a question. Are you personally experiencing God's love today? Do you believe that He's able to love a person like you? Do you believe you're too good for His love? Do you believe you're too far gone for His love? Neither of those are true. Are you experiencing God's love today that He's demonstrated through Jesus Christ, that He's made available through faith in Jesus, that He wants to pour out into your heart through the Holy Spirit? Have you trusted in Jesus as your Lord and Savior? You know, this Good Friday, don't stand far off from the cross, gazing at it from a distance. God wants you to encounter His love in a personal way. He wants that for all of us. Don't settle for just knowing things about God in your head. He wants you to know Him through a relationship, through a personal, intimate relationship through Jesus, through faith in Jesus, and in the process, experience his perfect love for you and know him as your Lord, as your Savior. We have the opportunity, there really is no better time to celebrate communion together than Good Friday, or the Lord's table, or the Lord's Supper, as you may have heard it called before. So we're going to do that together, celebrate communion this evening together. Go ahead and gather your elements, whatever you have that's close to bread, whatever you have that's close to juice or wine, and we're going to take those elements together and celebrate and remember the cross of Christ. You know, there's nothing about participating in communion together that earns you some type of salvation or points with God, but it's an ordinance that Jesus gave to us, his church. He instituted it. He gave it to us at the Passover meal that he shared with his disciples the night before he was crucified. And he told them, as he broke bread with them, as he shared the cup with them, he pointed them to the cross. And these elements that we're going to take together, this bread and this cup, they represent, they symbolize what Jesus has done for us on the cross. The bread symbolizes his broken body that was broken on the cross for us. The cup symbolizes his shed blood that he poured out for our sins, for the forgiveness of sins. So have your communion elements ready, and in just a moment we're going to take those together. Let me read from 1 Corinthians 11, verses 23 through 26. Starting in verse 23, the Apostle Paul writes this, "For I received from the Lord what I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the night when he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, 'This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me.'" So whatever you have, bread or something close to it, take that now. And as you take that bread, let's eat together as we remember the broken body of Jesus for us on the cross. Let's eat together. The Apostle Paul also continues on in 1 Corinthians 11, verses 25 to 26, and he says, "In the same way, also, he took the cup after supper, saying, 'This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it, in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink the cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes.'" So grab whatever you have to celebrate the cup, whether that's juice or wine or some other type of beverage in your home. And I'll grab what I have here. And let's take that and drink together as we remember the shed blood that Jesus poured out for us on the cross. Let's drink together. Let me pray for us as we close out this Good Friday celebration together. If you pray with me. Heavenly Father, we're so grateful for what you've done, sending your Son, offering your Son, demonstrating your love. Thank you for showing us how much you care for us, how much you love us, enough to send your Son to die on our behalf, that we can not only be forgiven of our sins, but that we can know you in a personal way. Thank you that through Jesus, you pour your love out into our hearts through your Holy Spirit. We're forever changed. We're never the same. And Lord, we thank you for making all that possible through the cross. We give you praise. We give you glory. We give you honor. We lift your name high. And Lord, this Holy Week, this Easter season, this Good Friday, as we look and remember the cross deeply. God, would you help us to respond with all that we are in praise and adoration and thankfulness and worship to you. Thank you, Jesus, for what you've done. We pray this in your name. Amen.